Mediterranean, and it's ultra soft, breathable, and extremely durable. Now, if you go to MyPillow.com, use promo code USA when you click on the Giza Dream Sheet Special, you get 30% off and free shipping. 30% off and free shipping when you go to MyPillow.com.
Arkansas Republican Senator Tom Cotton is urging the IRS to investigate the Southern Poverty Law Center, which he slammed as a political hate group. The Alabama-based nonprofit has been mired in scandals in the recent weeks, with its founder and president stepping down amid allegations of sexual harassment and racial discrimination. Cotton tells Fox News why he's asking the IRS to investigate the tax-exempt status of the Southern Poverty Law Center.
Yeah, so the Southern Poverty Law Center has over $500 million. About a quarter of that, Tucker, is parked in overseas accounts, as best we can tell. I don't know many charitable advisors say it's best practice to send your endowment to overseas accounts in the Caribbean. That's one reason why Charity Watch gives them an F rating, a very well deserved F rating. Because you said, Tucker, they've really become kind of a hate group themselves. They have this so-called hate map, and they use it to stigmatize their political opponents. You know, respectable center-right organizations like the Family Research Council, their Alliance Defending Freedom.
As far as keeping your tax-exempt status, Cotton says,
so an Internal Revenue Service is responsible for adjudicating initial tax exemptions and then also reviewing it as well. That's why I've asked the IRS to review the Southern Poverty Law Center's tax-exempt status. They were founded decades ago. They claim that their role was to fund lawsuits to eliminate the Democrat system of Jim Crow and segregation. Right. Now they've turned into just a serial defamer of their political opponents. That's why the IRS needs to relook at their tax-exempt
status.
And I hope
they will.
For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
And welcome to a new edition of Modern Design. My name is Richard Scuderi. I'm an interior designer, contractor, and home stager. All these things these days. And this beautiful day, one of the first days that it really feels like spring. As I was driving into studio, it was 64 degrees, and I have a green sweater on today feeling springish, and then I realized it's actually kind of warm, and really warm in studio. Our topic today, if you've been following me on social media, as unfortunately more and more people are doing each week, on my blog, which you can subscribe to my blog every week. It's free. It's fun. I put pictures up and give you some great ideas to motivate you to do something to your home, your office, your garden, and whatever. This week's topic is called Spring Has Sprung. I was kind of motivated because I was watching the news and I saw down in Washington, D.C., because there are a couple of zones ahead of us, that this week is peak for the cherry blossoms. And when I saw the cherry blossoms all down in D.C., I got to thinking about New Jersey. And do you know that in New Jersey, in northern New Jersey, and I guess that's Bloomfield there, area near Newark on the Garden State Parkway North, it's the exits, oh, maybe that's Belleville, New Jersey. It's called Nanina's in the Park. It's a catering hall. But there's a park there right off the Garden State Parkway that has a park, Branch Brook Park. And Branch Brook Park was given. Now, I don't know the period of time. I think it might have been, 30s or 40s. It was a really long time ago. The Japanese gave a gift to the United States, and the entire orchard there of cherry trees is planted in that Branch Brook Park. There are actually more blossoms, cherry blossoms, in Branch Brook Park than anywhere else in the United States, more than Washington, D.C. on the Mall. So they haven't quite, I'll talk about that. I may go up there and post some pictures for the radio program and then put them online when we talk about it. It's spectacular. It's called Branch Brook Park in North Jersey off the Garden State Parkway. And I guess that's Bloomfield-Belleville border there. And I'll talk more about that. But it got me thinking about New Jersey and what's happening up here and how quickly things are changing. One day it's really cold and the next day it's kind of warm. And we need to start to get ready. Spring has sprung. We're not going to have another storm, I hope, not another storm. But we should start working on stuff now, and things are starting to pop. On way to studio, I saw magnolia trees in white, smaller white ones, and then the big pink ones that are starting to show, and they're starting to open slightly. The crocus have already kind of done their thing, and we're still seeing them come through. So a lot to talk about. We're going to talk about how to get your pots ready, your yard ready, and what's trending for 2019. Are people doing things different this year for spring? Maybe things that are stable and the same, but also maybe how you can change up things and do things differently. Okay, I'm going to take some commercial messages. We're going to come back and do weather, and we have a great show in store. Spring has sprung.
Oh, folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for Modern Design.
This blue thing is a really new trend.
A lot of the designers are trying to introduce blue as a new cabinet color.
This is topical for you guys. This is really topical.
And the mother said, well, I'd like her room to be gray. And the little girl said, Mom, gray is the color of depression.
Hi, this is Rich Scuderi of Modern Design. We're on live every Wednesday from 2 to 3, and you're listening on WHCR-DB.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
And we are back with more of Modern Design. I pulled up when we were doing some of the announcements. I was pulling up today's weather. And I have a real red flag warning. Let's see what the warning is about. Okay, so it's currently fair skies at 63 degrees. I guess I said 64. And it says now until 9 p.m. red flag warning. I guess it's for wind, actually. It says sunny. It's going to be breezy with wind gusts of 18 to 22 miles per hour. Gusts as high as 36. So be careful of the wind, but it's nice and warm. This afternoon, again, it says a red flag warning, sunny but breezy with a high of 63. We've already exceeded that. Tonight, it's going to be mostly clear and then go down to 37 degrees. On Thursday, it'll be a partly sunny day with a high of 59. So that's pretty good. Thursday night, a 40% chance of rain with a high of 38. On Friday, unfortunately, rain is likely with a high of 49 degrees. On Friday night, 80% chance of rain with a low of 43. On Saturday, looks like rain and then partly sunny towards the later part of the day with a high of 66. Saturday night, it's partly cloudy. And let's see if the weather forecast is going to give me my Sunday here on this. I guess not. So I left off here on Saturday, partly cloudy. Let's see if I can get this to stream down to Sunday here. I guess not. I will get you the Sunday forecast before the end. Okay, I come in on the bottom here. Okay, so Sunday will be a partly sunny day with a high near 64. So looks like we're going to have a good Sunday. Well, that's an opportunity for us to definitely start planting and doing things. You know, I love to do seasonal programs. It starts in the winter months with after the Christmas tree goes down, of things to keep you motivated and things due to your home, going all white, natural elements, celebrating stuff. And then we celebrate some of the winter holidays like St. Patrick's Day and Valentine's Day and beautiful little things you can do that are sort of different and classy and upscale to do. And then the spring comes and then it all opens up. And a lot of that has to do with gardening and lighting up inside your house. But a lot of it has to do with being outside. And then the summer, we have all sorts of fun and interesting ideas. And the fall, forget it. You know, the holidays start coming and we start planning for Thanksgiving and Christmas and so on. So I love to do seasonal shows as well as the shows that we do every week, you know, ongoing about interior design for your home or your business, whether it be a restaurant or a store or what have you, things that are trending and in style. So our topic today is spring has sprung. I'm going to open the phone lines. I know a lot of you are gardeners, avid gardeners and have wonderful ideas that you'd like to share. It's always good. I'm always looking for inspiration. Now, one of the things I did to prepare for today's show, and unfortunately they couldn't be a guest today, but they let me go through and gave me some wonderful ideas and tips for getting ready. You know, we're very early in the season because it's still a little bit cold, but things that you could plant today that will work, that will be okay, that are a little bit hardy because we're going to have some cold days. I think tomorrow it said it was going to be 37, so at night. So things that are going to last, things that are not going to be able to sustain the cold and work for you. The garden center I went to is called the Living Earth, and the Living Earth is up in New Hope, Pennsylvania, right in the center of town there. It's been there forever, and they really have beautiful stuff. I hope to have the owner be my guest on a future show. We're trying to work a date that will work. She'll come here first, and then go down to Princeton to shoot for the Comcast channel, my television show, which is called Design for the Times. And if you listen to my show here on Facebook every Wednesday, you'll notice that there's also a page for Design for the Times. And you can watch it anytime. You can watch previous episodes that have aired on the Comcast channel. Or if you go to my YouTube page, which is my name, Richard Christopher Scuderi, I believe there's 21 shows up that you can watch at any time on any topic related to design. So that's always a fun thing to do. And often the topic, again, starts with the blog on Sunday with some information. Then we do the show here on Wednesday, live in Flemington, the radio show with the podcast for Facebook. And then we go down and shoot it for the Comcast channel. So you really get your choices. And there's always things besides being on cable television. You can always go to the internet, and those resources are also available for you. So our topic today is Spring Has Sprung, and we have a lot. I have a lot that I learned. I kind of grilled the people over at the Living Earth. And I will have, in the next couple of weeks, I will have different garden centers in the this area, this western part of New Jersey and Pennsylvania. I will have some different people on, guests that have been on before, talking about unique things, things that you can try that are good for your garden, that give you a different and more updated look. I'm always looking to do things that trend or things that are a little bit unusual, because as you get older, you'll find that the years kind of pass very quickly. And if every year you're doing the same yellow daffodils, it gets kind of tiring. So it's kind of nice to freshen it up. And that may be the same yellow daffodils, but you take your black urns and you whitewash them, so the look is a little bit different. And then you do moss or something in the pots with it. But little things do make a difference. And you believe it or not, people notice, and they will look at those things. So first on Spring Has Sprung, we want to talk about maintenance and getting ready and getting rid of the guck from the winter. So the first thing on my list is clean your beds. Go into your existing flower beds and get rid of the dead leaves. That in itself is transformative. A nice warm day like today, get there and get all those old leaves out, rake them up into a sheet, put them in the woods, and get rid of those leaves. So clean your beds up. That makes a very big difference, your flower beds. Same thing with your pots. Take all the gunk out. If a lot of you I've seen did a really good job this year. People say to me, you know, Rich, I went and got all my mixed greens, and I got them in for the winter, so I knew that after Christmas that I have all those greens for the winter. It'd be something interesting in my pots. Well, I see a lot of you. I was down in Princeton because I'm working on a couple of projects there, and a lot of the homeowners in Princeton still have that stuff from Christmas time, so they still have all the different mixed greens, but the greens have already pretty much dried out now. This is a good weekend to get rid of all those greens, toss them in the woods, get rid of them, and then get your pots ready. Put in some new topsoil, turn it around a little bit, and get those pots ready for what we're going to put in them. So clean your beds, definitely number one. Clean those pots, number two. Number three is your grass. Your grass in the winter often is covered over with leaves, things that have blown around. Rake that grass, just as you would in the fall. Do a one good raking and clean everything up. That in itself, even before planting flowers, people will notice. It makes your property look fantastic. Number five on my list is this is the time of the year to get your windows washed, the beginning of the season. Whether you do it yourself or you're fortunate enough to be able to afford to hire somebody to help, but clean windows, even before we put flowers out, the clean windows really are a good way to make everything look fresh and very much spring-like. All right, we've come up to our first set of commercials already. We'll be back more. Our topic today is Spring Has Sprung. If you'd like to call into our program, the phone number is 908-237-0410, 908-237-0410. Tell us what you're doing, or if you started doing something yet to make your place have that spring-like look.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunter Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, paraplanner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
And we are back with more of Modern Design. My name is Richard Scuderi. I'm an interior designer, home stager, and contractor for the past 22 years, working on all things related to the home, including the garden, your beds, what people see when you first drive up, your curb appeal, and everything to make your home or your commercial space or your restaurant or whatever you're working on or in as beautiful as it can be. Our topic today is called Spring is Sprung, and one of the things that I do as an interior designer is I will come out to your house for $199, and it doesn't start at the front door. It starts at the end of the driveway, and I will take a look at your beds. I will take a look at your colors of your house and colors of pots and things that you can do, not only inside but also outside, things that you can do to stage the outside of your house and start something where when people are doing a drive-by to look at neighborhoods, they go, oh, look at the house to the right. It's a beautiful house. It's got dark gray, beautiful siding with white trim, and it's got that beautiful sort of Tiffany blue front door, and the pots are whitewashed, and they have beautiful flowers that correspond, and you know, that kind of thing. Those are the houses that when you go to sell, they're like, I want to take a look at the inside of that house. It starts at the outside. So outside is very important, and also for yourself, you know, entertaining or just people admiring the things that you've done, and outside is a big part of it, especially now since we've had those months of cold, and that's behind us now, changing things out. So we talked a little bit about, if you're just tuning into the program right now, things you can do to start the season. Spring is sprung. One is clean your beds, get rid of the old leaves and get rid of them. Clean your pots, take out the previous, if you haven't already, the stuff that's in there, those greens that we talked about doing before the ground freezes, get rid of those. Put fresh topsoil in. Mix it up. Make sure that it's nutritionally dense. We're going to take the grass and do a good raking, get all the leaves off and have a fresh bed. We're going to power wash. Power wash is a big deal. Most of the houses I look at now that I go into, I notice as I pull up that they need to be power washed. Winter is kind of hard on homes, especially with siding, vinyl siding, cement board, all the sidings. They could use a freshening up with power washing, which is one of the things that we do at Maven Hill at this time of the year, is power washing. The next one is number five on the list was wash your windows. Great time to do that on a beautiful sunny day. Get those windows washed. Even before we put any plants out, let's get our bases right. The next one on the list is number six is paint your deck and trim. You'll notice now if you go out to see where you're going to put your patio furniture or how things are, you'll notice that everybody's deck kind of usually looks a little bit tired. So maybe power wash at a minimum if you have a deck outside in your walkway. Or maybe it's time to do a fresh coat of paint or stain and get that ready for the season. And those are good projects to do before it gets too hot to do them. We talked about clearing out your old planters, getting everything ready to go. And then we're going to take a trip to the garden center. And I've been doing that last week. I went to a number of garden centers. I went to Rutgers Landscape. They're on the show all the time here and down at the television station. I went to see the Garden Gate. And she's been a homeowner, the owner has been with us many times and saw some of the fun stuff that she had there, great pansies there. And then I went up to the Living Earth in Pennsylvania, up in New Hope, and saw some of the different things that they're there. And I'm always looking for inspiration. I found some stuff that I liked. I found some stuff that I did different this year, and I want to pass that along to you. So when you go shopping, I always say don't go to the to one place and just load up your cart and go. Get inspiration. So inspiration often starts in a magazine, getting this month's copy of maybe Traditional Home or New Jersey Design Magazine. Look what people are doing. Look what the advertising. It is geared towards this time of the year, so you're going to see things. Then go on Google Images. One of the best ways to get ideas, to have a place to start, is to go to the internet and Google 2019 Spring Pot Images. And you'll see a lot of different and unusual ideas and things that are trending. Now, when we had the Garden Gate here, Sandy at the Garden Gate told us that when you do a pot seasonally, no matter what season it is, spring, summer, fall, Christmas, there's three components to a pot. You want to have the thriller, and the thriller is a tall piece, whether the pot is square or round or an urn or what have you. You want to have a tall piece, so that's the thriller. And then it's sort of the body of the plant, the planter, and that's the filler part. And then the bottom is if anything carries over, if you have ivy or you have something that goes down, like there's certain types of geraniums that kind of hang, or different things that you can plant. That's the spiller. So we're going to talk about three components: the thriller, the tall piece, the filler that goes around, and the spiller, the one that sort of hangs down gracefully. And some of the things that I noticed this year. First of all, pansies are just amazing. They have a lot of different varieties of pansies. I noticed it both at the Garden Gate and then specifically when I went up to the Living Earth. A lot of different types of pansies in different colors. Most people, when they think about pansies in the first place, they think about, and they're a good plant to plant at the beginning of the season like now, because they're tolerant of cold. So if you have a cold night where it goes down to 32 or 30, or maybe the little bit of a hail or an ice storm, you're not dead in the water with planting flats of pansies. But I saw a lot of different kinds of pansies. I saw ones that had very big heads. The flowers had very big heads like I've never seen before, which was kind of neat. Then there's a pansy now that they came out with that's ruffled. So the flowers are all ruffled, so that was kind of different. And then they had one, they had the smaller pansies, which are called violas, that look like miniature pansies, and they have more than one color going on. Now, typically when you see pansies for the spring, you see yellow and purple, or purple and white. But I saw this year unusual colors, like blues, like purples with blues, which is a very pretty combination. Lots of orange. I talk in the fall programs about when you're doing your fall pots, use as the filler, use orange pansies. But you know what? They paired orange with purple in a lot of the flats of pansies that are out. The orange are beautiful. So if you have a house that's dark blue, perhaps orange is a good combination. So let's say you have maybe white painted pots or wood pots or wood boxes that are white, and then you do orange. Oh my God, that's really great. That's a really great environment or thing to do when you are looking to bring a palette together. And keep in mind when you go to the garden centers of what your palette is. Now, for example, my house is yellow. I have a pale yellow colonial with white trim and black shutters, and most of my things are black urns. And then a little bit of I have some zinc and I have some old cement pots. So I have that sort of a palette. So for my palette, orange is not going to work. Red is not going to work. Certain colors aren't going to work. For me, I need a cool, balanced palette. So when I do purples or purple, yellow, and white, that works well. When I do greens, that looks very well. If I did an all-white summer palette, that works very well. So you want to work with whatever your palette is. If you have red brick, when you have red brick, white looks beautiful with it. Green looks beautiful with it. Everybody has, depending upon the color of your home, different things that look well. If you have a shore house and you have sort of a grayed weathered siding, anything in the pinks and the purples look terrific. Yellow looks good against gray. That's always another thing you can do. So before you just throw stuff in your cart and say, let's get it done, have a plan. Go into this with a plan. So some of the things that I saw that I really liked. Well, you know what? Before I do that, let's talk about the planters, because I saw some unusual planters. Now, one of the things that's trending and has been trending for 2 years now is more of an industrial look. So that's usually a combination of surfaces that are kind of hard and natural. So I did see a lot of planters that were square and rectangular and straight. made out of zinc, so sort of a slate gray or darkish gray kind of a look. So that was something that I saw that was trending. Tall, lean planters that were just tall and straight and a lot of straight lines. But I also saw the second part of that look, which is sort of the weathered wood look. And I saw pots that were made out of hollowed logs, especially birch branches. Birch branches were still in. I saw them as planters. I saw things that were done as palleted wood or things that were planter boxes that were reclaimed wood that were made into square boxes. Some of them were traditional. Some of them were kind of contemporary, and some of them were kind of traditional looking. Some of them were painted out. A lot of them were just the look of the weathered wood that was sort of a grayish, and then it had some sort of a protection over it. So those were some of the things I saw. I also saw people taking their classic urns, like their black urns or their brown urns, and they were whitewashing them. So if you had a black urn, you whitewashed it, and it gave it a new and fresh look, and I liked that. I don't know that it will work in my home, but I'd like to do that in somebody else's home. If you have a gray house or a navy house or a dark color house and you have urns, let's whitewash them. Let's use a patio paint. And that, if you go to the craft store, that's a paint for outside. So after that paint dries, it's not going to run. And whitewash your black urns and give it a new kind of a fresh look. Can you imagine all yellow, palette of all different yellow flowers, maybe with a white urn against a blue house? That would look really amazing. So some of the planters had changed a lot. More casual, a lot of different things, unique things. And, of course, the cobalt blue ceramic pots were back again, which I love, and the citrus green ceramic pots were there, and all sorts of different things that you can do. So we talked about the flowers and plants now. We talked about the thriller, the filler, and the speller. I didn't have too many spellers, but I have lots of interesting thrillers and fillers to show you. So let's start with the thrillers a little bit. And the one thing that I tried this year, and you can get these anywhere. I got them in the garden centers over the weekend, are pussy willows. So if you have those are anything that's branch-like in the center of a pot is going to look really good. But you want to keep the planter, the height in conjunction with the size of the planter, both the height of the planter and the width, because you don't want it to be out of proportion. So for my pots that were tall, I bought a couple of sets of pussy willows. And supposedly when you stick them into the soil in the center of a pot, they will root, and then you can transplant them into your garden. Let's see if that happens or not. But I got three sets from my pots that were my black urns. So against my yellow house, clapboard house, I have beautiful old iron black urns. So my center now is these willows that are beautiful and gray, and the gray and the yellow and the black look wonderful together. Put fresh dirt around those. And then for mine around those, I did purple, dark purple, medium purple, and then white with purple centers around them in a black pot against yellow. And it was just gorgeous. So I did that in my old-fashioned urns in the back of my house and in the front of my house in three. And that was stuff. I mean, you cluster things in threes outside. That also has a wonderful kind of a look. And that looked great. Now, in my smaller pots, my pots that were lower and closer to the ground, you don't want to do willows or any sort of branches because the scale is off. So there, I took daffodils that were tall, fresh daffodils that I had bought, and put them in the center, and then put the pansies, the different shades of purple around the yellow, and the yellow and the purple really looked nice around the property. So that's pretty much what I've done so far. At my entrance, I have entry gates. And one of the things you can do, which is a money saver for you, is I have big sort of squat wide flat black urns, or wider black urns, I should at least say, at my property entrance on the gates so the deer don't get to it. I bought some dwarfed arborvitaes, and they never really grow beyond a certain thing, but they fill a lot of the pot. And not only do you have something all year long in that pot, you really only have to fill around it. So it's a big cost savings to change it out seasonally to things and not have to fill that whole pot. So the arborvitaes, the dwarf ones, you don't want to get ones that are going to grow too big because the roots will make nothing else grow. You'll have the arborvitaes in there, and then we put the purple pansies around there, and that was kind of a nice thing to do. But you don't have to just do the willows. There's a lot of other things you can do. I saw pots that were done a couple of days ago where they made the center. They went out and they bought forsythia plants. You know, when you first get a forsythia plant, it's tall like branches, but not very wide, and sometimes tall but not too tall. Forsythias in the center of your pots are a great way to go. It'll give you that sort of shock of yellow in the center, and then you can do wonderful things around it, bring some other colors in. Maybe white, maybe do purple, yellow, and white, maybe do, you know, something else in there, maybe then work with tulips with that. But forsythia is another good thriller that's tall. Any sort of a branch, whether it be branches from your property, which you can very easily put in there and just have them be natural, of whether they are birch branches, which are obviously going to be a little bit thicker. You don't just do them at Christmas time. You can put the birch branches in the center and make that the base, so you have the beautiful white bark of the white birch in the center, and then start your pot. So that's a good filler to do as well. One of the things that I like a lot in branches that I bring into the house is Japanese quince branches. And I was down in Florist, because we're going to do a show, television show, one of the episodes of Design for the Times. It's called Viburnum, and it's on Nassau Street in downtown Princeton. If you get a chance, go. Their stuff is innovative and really different. And the owner, she had just brought in Japanese quince branches in sort of that beautiful pink, that sort of corally pink that Japanese quince give off, and they are beautiful. Now, they're very expensive, so I would do them in my foyer entrance in a beautiful footed glass vase and just let them do it. But if you did have the resources to do it, or maybe you're having a special event, doing something like a beautiful Japanese quince branch in that sort of coral color would be wonderful. And then maybe old white pansies around that, and that would just be stunning in any kind of pot that you want to do. So branches are a good thing to do as the filler. If your pot is a little bit smaller, any sort of a shrub, as I said, the dwarf arborvitae to put in will give you some height to your pot, which is kind of a nice thing to do and ground it. Boxwoods, dwarf boxwoods. I saw two contemporary planters at a house in Lambertville, and they had these tall, sort of, I guess, dark charcoal planters. And the center of it was a boxwood, but they squared off the boxwood on each one. So the center was sort of like two rectangular tall planters, and then you had that square boxwoods, and then they had flowers around that. That's an interesting and different way to do that. There is another kind of a boxwood that's tall and thin. You can put that in there as well. That's something else that you can do. So you can do things that are shrub-like if they're dwarfed, and that would work in a pot as well, or work for the season if it's not dwarfed, and then take it out and put it into your garden. One of the things that I like a lot this time of year, and they're a perennial, but they're great in pots to start, is Lenten rose. And you may even start to notice them in your beds, you know, as you clear the leaves out. Helleborus flower, Lenten rose, is a beautiful flower. And I did see pots that were done that the center was the helleborus, which is sort of, it's a beautiful perennial plant that keeps growing. And they're typically in three colors. They're in sort of a really rich, like a plum color flower, almost black even, a really, really rich plum. They're in a pink, or they're in a green, a true green flower. And in fact, I do have them in my yard. And when I do my table for St. Patrick's Day, I always take all the green hellebores and I'll cut them down and I'll put them into small vases along the white tablecloth. And that green, that sort of limey spring green flower, is amazing to do. So they're a great thing to do. So if you're going to add new perennials that are small at the time, have that be your thriller. Have that be the height you're looking for, and then work with a palette around that. You can also do tall grasses if you're going to get some new grasses. Put them in, and then that gives you the height in your space. You can be creative with what you do, whether it be a shrub or branches. Even, like I said, branches just on your property, any flowering or non-flowering branch, maybe your fruit tree, you're pruning it a little bit now and there's some buds on it, stick those in there for now. They'll have a short shelf life, but you'll have that height, which is really nice. Okay, we're going to come to the news now, and I have tons of wonderful ideas. Write it down if you want to call into our program. We are here live until 3 o'clock, 908-237-0410, 908-237-0410. We're going to take a quick news break, and lots more. Our topic today is Spring Has Sprung.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
The House Judiciary Committee voted to authorize subpoenas for the complete version of Special Counsel Robert Mueller's report on Russian interference in the 2016 election and alleged obstruction of justice by the president, all done at the dismay of Georgia Republican Congressman Doug Collins.
In the face of laws and rules he finds inconvenient, the chairman demands our nation's top law enforcement officer to break the rules and the regulations and the law. This is reckless, it's irresponsible, and it's disingenuous.
The funeral for a South Carolina student who was murdered by a man she thought was her Uber driver was held on Wednesday. Police say she entered the car thinking was an Uber she requested through the app. Seth Josephson is a member of the family. He says safeguards need to be put in place on these ride-sharing services.
The rideshare community, Uber and Lyft, learn from this and take ownership that it provides safeguards to avoid the mistakes that are easily made.
This is USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Wayne Alaruth, the Capitalist Evangelist. I'm here to introduce you to a special company with the potential to be one of the great all-American stories. Fortum Resources is a publicly traded, diversified natural resource company with oil, gas, and mining properties in North America and internationally. Fortum is led by Chairman Mark Bruner, the legendary oil man who built Ultra Petroleum from a 15-cent stock to $200 per share, creating $15 billion in shareholder profits. Mark has 30 years of experience in the oil and gas industry, overseeing contracts with Halliburton, ExxonMobil, and Hess. Fortum has over 350,000 acres of oil and gas resources, and more than half the acreage has been evaluated by world-renowned auditors Deloitte Touche. Fortum also owns the rights to the 180-square-mile City of Gold mining property. Fortum is traded on two global exchanges, U.S. ticker symbol FTMR. Repeat, FTMR. This is a rare ground floor opportunity to capitalize on a proven energy industry legend. Please visit FortumResources.com. That's Fortum, F-O-R-T-E-M, Resources.com.
Two more women are claiming inappropriate contact from former Vice President Joe Biden. More from USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes.
Now there are four women accusing former Vice President Joe Biden of behaving inappropriately, with two more coming forward in recent hours. Caitlin Caruso says as a 19-year-old student at the University of Nevada, Las Vegas, Biden rested his hand on her thigh and hugged her, as she puts it, a little too long. DJ Hill claiming as her husband took a photo of the two, Biden placed his hand on her shoulder and then started dropping it down her back, making her feel very uncomfortable. No comment yet from Biden on these latest allegations.
Facebook is ending a practice that has many privacy groups happy. They announced that they would no longer be asking users to provide, some users that is, to provide their outside email address and password for that email address. Last month, Facebook said that encrypted passwords for hundreds of millions of its users had been stored in years on company logs accessible to 2,000 employees. This is USA Radio News.
Mike Lindell, the creator of MyPillow, is a sleep genius. He creates things to make your night's sleep better. He created the new Giza Dreams bed sheets. He started by using the world's best cotton grown in the Mediterranean, and it's ultra soft, breathable, and extremely durable. Now, if you go to MyPillow.com, use promo code USA when you click on the Giza Dreams sheet special, you get 30% off and free shipping. 30% off and free shipping when you go to MyPillow.com.
Arkansas Republican Senator Tom Cotton is urging the IRS to investigate the Southern Poverty Law Center, which he slammed as a political hate group. The Alabama-based nonprofit has been mired in scandals in the recent weeks, with its founder and president stepping down amid allegations of sexual harassment and racial discrimination. Cotton tells Fox News why he's asking the IRS to investigate the tax-exempt status of the Southern Poverty Law Center.
Yeah, so the Southern Poverty Law Center has over $500 million. About a quarter of that, Tucker, is parked in overseas accounts, as best we can tell. I don't know many charitable advisors say it's best practice to send your endowment to overseas accounts in the Caribbean. That's one reason why Charity Watch gives them an F rating, a very well deserved F rating. Because you said, Tucker, they've really become kind of a hate group themselves. They
yes.
have this so-called hate map, and they use it to stigmatize their political opponents. You know, respectable center-right organizations like the Family Research Council, their Alliance Defending Freedom.
As far as keeping your tax-exempt status, Cotton says,
so an Internal Revenue Service is responsible for adjudicating initial tax exemptions and then also reviewing it as well. That's why I've asked the IRS to review the Southern Poverty Law Center's tax-exempt status. They were founded decades ago. They claim that their role was to fund lawsuits to eliminate the Democrat system of Jim Crow and segregation.
Right.
Now they've turned into just a serial defamer of their political opponents. That's why the IRS needs to relook at their tax exempt
status.
And I
hope they will.
For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
And we are back with more of Modern Design. My name is Richard Christopher Scuderi. I've been an interior designer, home stager, and contractor in the tri-state area for the past 22 years, and it's sort of flown by. But I will tell you, over time, I really see new things coming in that are kind of exciting, unusual things. Things are changing, and you really do need. Someone came into the store last Saturday, and they said, you know, you really do need now these days to keep up because things have changed so much. They are simpler, they are cleaner, and there are things you can do without spending a lot of money, and that's why shows like this are great, to, you know, just sort of freshen up what you have, maybe pare down, maybe try something that's a little bit new without reinventing the wheel, and really be up to date and really feel good about what your environment is all about. So our topic today happens to be spring has sprung. One of the things that I do seasonally as well as, you know, for the real estate community is I have a promotion. It's called Fresh Eyes for $199 plus tax. I will come out to your house for 1 to 2 hours. I did one yesterday in Annandale, a lovely couple, and gave them my ideas. And I said, you know what, let's walk out to the curb. Let's walk out to the outside. And I talked about the different components of their house. They have a lot of different elements on their house. Some of their house is vinyl siding. Some of their house is brick. Some of their house has sort of weathered wood. And there's three dormers. And inside the dormers, there's a different material. And then there's all sorts of trim, painted trim, and shutters, and windows, and sashes, and then the garage doors, and so on. And what I worked with those people on is sort of doing sort of one color palette, and then with crisp white trim and simplifying a little bit. Sometimes we don't even get to all the stuff on the inside. It begins with curb appeal on the outside. They had this long, this sort of wide and long landing with no rails. I said, you have to get some pots here that you keep out seasonally to have some depth. Maybe do a series of three on each side because there was this wide space with no visual interest. So sometimes it really just is as simple as some of the outside things that you do to your house, pruning your trees, having a sense of balance. Now that the season is here, as I said, getting the leaves out of the beds and having mulch delivered. That was one of the things that I didn't get to mention before a break is getting mulch. And I talk a lot about mulch because it's really transformative. And I've learned myself, I always went for the brown mulch, the dark brown mulch. I don't do this. One year by a mistake, I ordered mulch and I got the dyed black mulch. And I thought to myself, what did I do? It's going to look like shredded tires. Well, the funny thing about the dyed black mulches in your beds, it goes on and it's very much a statement. But overnight, it simply oxidizes from black to like a really rich coffee brown. And what I was noticing was in years past when I used the brown mulch, by July, on a hot July day, it kind of lost its color and it just looked worn out. Whereas in July and August, my mulch that started out black was still that really rich coffee grind brown and looked really good. In fact, there were some years that I could sort of just in the season just sort of rake last year's mulch and I didn't have to do it every single year. So something to think about if you're buying mulch. Now, there are advantages to both when you buy mulch. If you buy the bags and you're doing it yourself, sometimes it's easier because you can slit the bag, slide it, and then spread it. But then there are also advantages to having it just delivered and then working on it in your own time frame. The thing is, if you get it delivered in the driveway, it kind of puts pressure on you to get it done, and it can be an enormous task. And then if you're really lucky, you can pay somebody to do it for you. But mulch is one of the things you want to do now before you do your plantings. It really makes a big difference. And also top off your pots before we invest in all these plantings and the flats of flowers with some fresh, nutrient-dense soil. That makes a big difference, and they'll last longer, and they'll thrive and also look better. So we talked about the pots. We talked about cleaning the outside of the house, the power washing, the stuff that we're going to do for the spring. And then we talked about the individual pots, what I saw this year, a lot of weathered wood, a lot of zinc, a lot of grays and blacks, and also whitewashing pots. I noticed that that was a new trend. Take your old sort of iron urns that are sort of rusted and have that look, and then do a whitewash on them, and that's kind of a nice look. And it was a fresh look. It's something that I want to try, especially if you have a dark color house, a dark charcoal gray, a navy, or one of those darker colors. The white will pop against it, and then you can balance it with the kind of flowers you do and add some color. Then we talked about the bringing the colors together, the right colors to do. If you have a yellow house, you don't want to have orange flowers. But if you have a navy blue house, yellow flowers are probably one of the best colors. There's another thing that I talked about, which in weeks past but not today, is that there's a trend for a neutral palette, and that falls true with some of the pots I saw for the spring, where people were just doing all white flowers. And when you do all white flowers, a funny thing happens. You start to you notice the foliage, the green foliage, and it has its own visual interest. So let's say you have a more contemporary house, you painted a dark gray, Chelsea gray is a good dark gray for a house, and you whitewash your pots, and then you put white flowers in them, you're going to start to notice the greens, and the pot won't just look like white flowers. You'll start to notice the greens and the architecture of the flower, and that's its own kind of look. Maybe then you'd have a speller of the side that would be ivy or something that sort of trails that has green on it, and the whole white and green natural thing is its own beauty and something kind of interesting. It's kind of funny. I was talking to a florist the other day, and I said, what's been trending for flowers? And she said, a lot of the young brides have been asking for gray flowers. Well, I said, there's not too many gray flowers out there, but I guess if you're doing a spring wedding, or you're doing things outside the church, you could probably do the willows, as we said, the pussy willows in the center with a yellow, because gray and yellow are a nice combination. In fact, I was at a wedding last year in the spring, and everything was done in shades of gray and yellow. So things that are trending, and that's definitely some of them. Let's talk about the fillers of your pots, whether they be window boxes, which I love. We don't see enough of window boxes out there. Long planters that you'd put on a ledge. If you have a wall, a retaining wall, get some planters that are linear, rectangular planters, and then put them on and have some visual interest. That's always a nice thing to do. And try different and unique things. So some of the things that I see as fillers or to fill your pots are some of the basic things that we see every year, and that is the pansies, which are very hardy. They're frost hardy, and they're nice to do. Lots of different colors this year, lots of varieties. We said there's some varieties now that are hybrid, that are different, unusual colors this year that I've never seen. Violas, which are the mini sort of looking one. I find for me personally, when you buy flats that are the same. I think you get more visual impact if you keep your flats the same. So if I were doing a series of pots, I probably would do them all in, let's say, purples or, solid color, solid blocks. I just happen to think that's very nice. Or maybe I would do a purple one, a white one, and then a purple one again. When you mix the colors, which can be attractive as well, you don't get the same visual impact. So I like to group colors together, or at least color types together. So purples are very strong this year. I think they're a rich and nice color to do with pretty much any color pot. Make sure also that your pot color and your plant color work together. Do things that are attractive. In the store in Ringo's, I have two enormous planters, which I'm working on right now, and they're cobalt blue. So I know certain colors really look good in them. If I do coral, it looks really nice with them. If I do yellow, it looks really nice with them. Certain colors with the color of your planter look good. So try to put a palette together, something that's fresh looking and nice. So pansies are one that's very easy to do. You can buy them in flats. They're not expensive. The violas, which is the small pansy, they're hardy. You could start them right now. Not a problem if we have freezing nights. Crocus, the bulbs crocus kind of have, a lot of them have done their thing again. You still can buy them. They have a short shelf life. Could you imagine, though, having like a little white planted, a white planter at your door and all purple crocus? Really pretty against a white house. I think that would be something that would be really nice to do. Now, of course, daffodils. Daffodils are probably the most prominent thing you'll see, especially out in Hunterdon County. And one of the reasons for that simply is the narcissus bulb is poisonous to deer, and they know it, so they don't eat it. In fact, I've seen many years the deer will eat around my daffodils and eat the other things. That's how I learn what to plant and not to plant. But they do not touch daffodils. And the thing that you need to know about daffodils, go online and look at the Brex catalog, or see if you can get a Brex catalog or white flower form, I think is the other one. And you'll see that there's a lot of varieties of daffodils. When you think of the classic daffodil, the yellow with the yellow sort of a center, but there are so many different colors and types. You can really have variety in your garden, in your pots. If you go to a better garden center, you're going to see daffodils that are all white. You're going to see daffodils that are pink. You're going to see variegated daffodils of different sizes, the mini daffodils, which is kind of nice to work with different sizes. In fact, one of the things I was going to talk about is scale. So when you have a smaller pot, sometimes the flowers should be smaller. I also like to do the mini daffodils in my smaller, lower pots because they fill up the space in a better way. They just look right. So something to think about as well is the size of what you're doing. But there are pink ones. There are pink with white center, white with pink center. There are ones that are white and green. They're all different varieties. You have to go to a little bit more expensive garden center. It's more of an acquired taste. So they cater to certain spots that have people that really will spend the money for the more expensive daffodils, but that's something that you can do as well. A hyacinth, anything that you would give to somebody for Easter makes a great pot right now. So if you're getting hyacinths, and they're pretty inexpensive, you can get them pretty much now anywhere. I mean, even in the supermarkets for the upcoming holidays, they're already out. You can get some beautiful hyacinths. And I probably use a hyacinth, not really sort of way out, but if it was near where the house was sort of protecting it, I do some pots. Maybe you have a beautiful black iron planter, and you do all purple hyacinths. But maybe against the house where it's protected and covered, that's a great place to do it. Or all in white, and you get that wonderful smell when you come to the door. So hyacinths are good to do. There's something else that I like to do, and it pairs well with yellow for this time of the year. And it's called a grape hyacinth. And they're very different looking. They almost look like a mini cluster of grapes, and they're sort of a blue-purple color. And you can pair them with a lot of early spring things in pots, and they look really nice. So the grape hyacinth is something else you can do. Tulips. Now, I love tulips. People love tulips. There's so many varieties of tulips that you can do. Parrot tulips, and the colors are just amazing. Reds and pinks and whites and yellows and purples. And they're variegated or straight. But you have to keep in mind with tulips, a lot of predators, not just deer, but a lot of predators, rabbits and so on, eat them. So I'm very partial to them. I always think when you're gardening, look for nooks or spaces that are high. Add planters to those spaces, retaining walls, rock walls, fences, things that are high, and then spend the money on those beautiful items, those items that really stand out in high places. You know, maybe get some gorgeous parrot tulips and put there. There are things that are different and unusual, and put them in high spots, and then you can really enjoy them, and then do some of the basic stuff that the deer won't eat or other predators, and then put them in select places. Another plant that I like to use, and I often give this to people for Easter because they don't know what it is ranunculus. And ranunculus is hard to explain. I think next week when we have one of the garden center people here, they're going to bring me samples, and they'll actually show you some of the names of these things, because I'm sure people will say to me, sometimes I get comments after, like, what's a ranunculus? Can you show me what that is? So we're going to bring some live plants in for next week's show, and then I'll talk about the different names and what they look like and some of the colors. Ranunculus is beautiful. It's almost rose-like. It's a very pretty flower. You'll see it in a lot of very intense colors, in reds and oranges and yellows and pinks and salmons and whites. And they're really pretty. And again, if I was doing ranunculus, I wouldn't have sort of the rainbow of colors in a pot. I find a color that was wonderful, and then work with the pot and what I was putting it around, and then just do solids of that. Even if you do a solid of each one, you have two pots, three pots, and so on, do them in a grouping, but each one be its own thing. I even see that when I go to beautiful hotels in New York in the lobby, they'll have, instead of one massive arrangement now, they do smaller arrangements of different sizes, but in each arrangement, it's all the same flower. The same thing holds true for these spring flowers. Group them together by color or type, and I think you'll get more visual impact with them. All right, we're just about at the end. In fact, I won't even have time to take a commercial. A couple last things we'll talk about when it comes to the spring and the look. what I talked about for the outside of your home, you want to bring into your inside home and your landings to show a change in season. So the first thing I'm going to talk about again is those quince branches. I went out and visited this week Profeta Farms. It's on Route 202, traveling from Reddington towards Flemington. It is a beautiful market, very high-end, a little bit expensive, but a beautiful high-end market. And if you look at my Facebook posting for the show, a lot of people said, oh, what are those flowers that are in the different buckets? That was from Profeta Farms. You should check it out. They had beautiful flowers there. And they had in buckets and tin buckets for the inside of your house. They had the Japanese quince branches in that sort of salmony color that were gorgeous. And they had white hydrangeas out. They had a lot of different and unusual flowers out. You should do those things in the landings of your house to signify a change in season. So at your front entrance on a foyer table, maybe you go out and you get some get a thing of cut branches, of beautiful cut branches. Branches symbolize spring. So whether it be the quince branches or pear blossom or forsythia. Forsythia branches, that yellow bloom, really make your place look like spring. And if you pair it, if you have sort of blue and white little vases and stuff with the yellow, that's a great way to put that all together, or something maybe with grays if it's a little bit more modern. Branches at the entrance are wonderful. And then having some of those flowers, and it's not a big thing to do, yet go to the supermarkets and get a couple of maybe primrose. Primrose is a pretty flower that you can do inside in your windowsills, maybe beautiful white along the windowsill of your house, or purple to change the look of the changing season is kind of nice to put together. Anything, again, that you're seeing in the garden centers outside, you can also do in landings in your house. Maybe change it out to something nice. Take that plastic planter that it comes in and put it in a beautiful ceramic vase or bowl, a beautiful bowl. Also, add moss to your things. Instead of when you have stuff inside your house and you buy, let's say, maybe you buy a beautiful big hyacinth and you put that on your dining room sideboard, put it in a better vase. And then when there are gaps when you can see the dirt, go get some moss. Go to any garden center and get some moss and fill it in with moss. And then you have that sort of finished look as if it came from a florist. Well, that's about it. We're out of time. We did a lot. You know, I'm very passionate about this topic. In the next couple of weeks, we're going to have a couple of different garden centers and a lot of new ideas for you for both out and inside of your house to make your house look very spring. Thank you for tuning into our program, and I look forward to seeing you next Wednesday right here on Modern Design on Hunter and Chamber Radio. Thanks, and have a great day, everybody. Bye-bye.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Actresses Felicity Huffman and Lori Loughlin are in a Boston court for their alleged roles in a massive college admission scam. This will be their initial appearance, and they're not expected to enter a plea. A judge will be setting bond of the conditions for their release. Jonas Bilbor is a criminal defense attorney. She reminds us,
you can't send a message when it comes to financial crimes simply by charging somebody more money. That doesn't hurt enough. You have to take away their liberty. Some people are going to see the inside of a jail cell in this case.
The Democratic-led Judiciary Committee is authorizing a subpoena for Special Counsel Robert Mueller's full finalized report from the Russia investigation. Attorney General William Barr has said he will present a redacted version of the report by the middle of the month and noted the redactions will cover sensitive intelligence data, confidential grand jury material, and ongoing criminal investigations. Without proof, Democrats are suspicious of Barr's redactions. You're listening to USA Radio News.
It's amazing but true. When it comes to one of America's biggest household expenditures, health care, a lot of people think they've got no choice. People are used to thinking we have to do it this way, but they don't. Yes, you have the freedom to choose an alternative with your health care. It's MediShare, and it costs way less than the alternatives. The typical family saves $500 a month, not a year, a month. And if you're single, this can save you a lot too. And let's face it, a big reason MediShare is 400,000 people strong, it just works. They've shared over $3 billion in medical bills, so they can help share your needs, too. Joining MediShare for so many people is one of those things that makes you say, why didn't I do this before? So yes, the time has come for something better. Look into joining MediShare and see why so many people are opting out of the old way and into the new. Why not look into this? Just call 855-90-PSALM. That's 855-90-PSALM. 855-90-PSALM.
A private monthly employment survey comes in weaker than expected, as we hear from USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes.
It shows that in March, companies added the fewest jobs in 18 months, suggesting employers may have grown more cautious as signs of slower economic growth have recently emerged. Payroll processor ADP says about 129,000 jobs were added last month, down from the previous month's gain of 197,000 and below the 170,000 that analysts had predicted. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
President Trump says Republicans will offer a phenomenal health care plan after the 2020 election. South Dakota Republican Senator John Thune says health care is a problem the president wants to solve.
The challenge he has right now is he's running into the political obstacle of a Democrat-controlled House whose idea for health care reform is a $36 trillion, one-size-fits-all, government-run plan that would take health insurance coverage away from 180 million Americans.
This is USA Radio News.
Mike Lindell, the creator of MyPillow, is a sleep genius. He creates things to make your night's sleep better. He created the new Giza Dreams bed sheets. He started by using the world's best cotton grown in the Mediterranean, and it's ultra-soft, breathable, and extremely durable. Now, if you go to MyPillow.com, use promo code USA. When you click on the Giza Dreams sheet special, you get 30% off and free shipping. 30% off and free shipping when you go to MyPillow.com.
President Trump's threats to shut down the U.S. southern border raise fears of economic